Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 16 through 20. And it brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. I'm kind of cutting into the narrative, the story here, but for sake of time. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed from him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. You may be seated. There's three kinds of people in the world. There's those that make things happen. There's people that watch things happen. And yet there are people that sit back and say, what just happened? I don't know where you are, and I don't know exactly where your mind is today, but I pray to God, if you're born again, you know the Lord and the power of his resurrection, it'll give you faith. And that faith, he said, is to move mountains. Now, I want to give you three little quotes here. One from a writer, Mr. Charles Dickens. The most important thing in life is to stop saying I wish and start saying I will. Consider nothing impossible. Then treat possibilities as probabilities. A boxer, Muhammad Ali. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is nothing. And a preacher, Smith Wigglesworth. There's nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by our limitation, by the limitations of our unbelief. Amen. A writer, a boxer, and a preacher. Now, all of these things are good, but I gotta go with the last one because there is a natural faith we all have and a natural desire we all have. But couple that together with faith in God and things begin to really, really change. It expedites everything. And exponentially, it changes and it compounds. And that's why it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And who is in us but Jesus Christ? Amen. So none of us have an excuse. None of us can sit back and say nothing can happen, nothing will happen, nothing has ever happened, because you know what? It's not over till it's over, baby. And God said nothing is impossible if you have faith in God. Now, it's not just faith in faith. That's the problem sometimes. It's not just having faith in faith. A lot of people have faith in faith. I just have faith. Well, in what? I have faith in God. And here's what he said, if you have faith in God, then all things are possible unto you. And you got to mark that down. Reminds me of that country boy out in the country. He got a new football for Christmas. It was a white one. You ever seen those white footballs? And he's playing with it, and he accidentally kicked it over the fence. It landed in the next door neighbor's chicken pen. Rooster walked up to it, looked at it. Called all the hens together. Come here, girls. Come here. All y'all come over here. I want you to look at this. He said, I'm not really complaining or anything, but I want to show you what they're doing next door. Amen. You see, it's all right to have faith, but you got to have faith in the right thing. You got to have faith, not in something that is imaginary, but something that is real. And I've come to tell you, you know as well as I know, there's a living God in heaven, and there's no God like our God. There's no power like the power of God, and God can do all things. You say, I can do nothing. Exactly right. You can do nothing without God, but with God, all things are possible. You can fish all night and catch nothing, but in the next morning when Jesus said, cast your net on the other side, after you've said, we've caught nothing all night, guess what? You caught nothing, but you can catch something if you have faith in God, if you do what He tells you to do, if you believe in what He says for you to believe. And you know what? Just in the human level of things, just in the natural, do you know God created us in His image? And you know that man has within his heart a drive within the human heart that drives his human spirit to reach for victories beyond his grasp. You tell that man a mountain that it's easy to climb, and he won't climb it. You tell that man that is impossible to climb that mountain, and guess what? He'll stay up all night dreaming about that mountain, and then in the next morning he'll set out to conquer it. Why? Because that's what God put in our hearts, just in the natural. And then you couple that with the faith in the living God, and I'm telling you, things can happen that are impossible. What's with God impossible? Nothing's impossible for God. If He just has somebody that will put their unbelief aside and believe God in spite of what they see. You see, God put it in your heart. As a matter of fact, He said we've been made in His image. And if we've been made in His image, that doesn't mean that we just look like He looked. That's not what it's saying. There's a lot that is more involved in that. But one thing I want to say is I've had this question asked me many, many times. Why did God create a world, and in that world He knew was going to fall and fail and going to go through all the things that we were going to have to go through? Why would He even do that if He knew it from the beginning? Well, you know what? I don't really have an answer for that, because He's God and He knows what He's doing and I don't. But I thought maybe, just maybe, it was a challenge to God. God knew it was going to take place, and God said, well, I'm going to show you how I can redeem in the midst of all of this. I'll show you how I can bring out of the ashes a miracle. I'll bring out of the mess a move of God. If you can just believe God, God said all things are possible. And I'm telling you, that's what God said, and that's what I believe. Amen? Now, I don't even have time to get in that nonsense, you know. Well, I'm going to believe God, you know, that God's going to... Well, within His will. Amen. Well, how do I know the will of God? Well, you got to get in the Spirit of God and go and get in the Word of God, and your steps will be ordered of God, and you'll know the will of God. I can tell you right now, it's not the will of God, and God didn't order your steps out to the casino, and you're praying that you hit the jackpot. I know that's the will of God. No, that's not the will of God. Amen. But I tell you what is the will of God, that you reach forth a helping hand, that you put your feet together and walk with God, and live together and pray together and know God is God. We've been made in His image, and we can dream some big dreams. Amen. Number one, I'm gonna have to hurry. Impossible is nothing. Impossible is not a dead end, it's a dare. You see, when you love God and you know God and the power of the resurrection, tell me what's more powerful than the resurrection. Tell me what is more essential to our lives than to know that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know what? When I know that, I know nothing is impossible, because God was there when He raised His Son up. And the Bible said He got up on Sunday morning, though He was crucified on Friday night. And it doesn't matter how dark it gets. I got good news for you. The sun is always shining. And all God says is just have some faith. It's not a dead end. You say, man, I'm at a dead end, preacher. No, it's not. There are no dead ends. Hello. You say, well, I've had to retract a few times. Well, I have too. I've walked down a mini alley before I thought was God. I was following God with all my heart, and I figured out. You know, maybe I should back out of this. I've had to back out a few times. But you know what? To God's credit, He still blesses us. Amen. One guy with his family was going through the mountains. Thought he'd take a little shortcut. Boy, that's a bad deal, isn't it? Bad idea. And so he saw a mountain trail. He said, I'm going to go that mountain trail. I know I can do it. pulled up there and it said, "Do not enter. Do not enter." So he said, "I ain't listening to that sign. I'm going to show them something." So he took off, man. For a few minutes, man, he's doing good, going up and going through. Man, he was doing real good. He was really bragging about how he was navigating himself through that, and his family back there thinking, "What are we doing? We're going to get lost out here." And finally, he got to where there used to be a bridge. "So, brother, we can't make that." So I had to back up out of there. And when he got back to the sign that said, "Do not enter," on the other sign it said, "Welcome back, stupid." Amen. But you know what? That is in the heart of man. That is it. It should be in the heart of every Christian, that God can do it. All things are possible. And I'm telling you, it's not a dead end. It's not a dead end. It's only a dare. You know, Jesus said you must become as a child. A child. Now, in theological terms, that's childlike faith. Don't take that literally. I don't mind giving children milk, but I despise parting whiskers to put the bottle in. Hello. But I'm saying to capture the understanding that it's not just the innocence or nor the willingness to believe anything. You know, you can tell a kid anything and they'll believe it. Picked up my cousin one time in Oklahoma City, and we were living in Altus, and I told him as we was driving down the road, he was sitting in the front seat. I don't know how he got shotgun, but he got shotgun. I was sitting in the back seat, and I said, "Hey, down the road here," I said, there's an elephant. "Yeah, he got it in a big cage." For the 2 hours he drove, got home, he said, "Yeah, I never saw the elephant." Bam, gotcha. Amen. There was no elephant. Okay, y'all never did nothing like that either. But see, the deal is, children will believe anything. That's not what it's talking about. They believe in fairy tales. I'll stop right there. Most of the kids are out. They believe in Santa Claus. Amen. Easter bunnies, I don't know. But that's not what it's talking about. But what he's saying, that there's a fundamental, curious faith in children. And the nearer anything approaches impossible, they're willing to do it. We get older, we get wiser. "Well, I'm not, you know, I know, I'm scared of that. I don't think I can do that anymore." I mean, we used to jump off cliffs, you know, 30, 40, 50 feet and jump into the water. And, you know, "I wouldn't do that no more." Well, you're just getting old. No offense. Please, I don't want you to break your bones either. But I know, and you know, that a child, and when I'm speaking of children, I'm talking about young people, they just have this daring faith. You dare them to do something, and that just makes it worse. "I dare you to do it." No. "I double dog dare you to do it." Y'all remember that? "I double dog, I triple dog dare you to do." Oh man, that was it. You triple dog dare me to do anything, I'd do it. Why? Because in the heart of every child is that daringness, that faith to believe it. I can do it. It can happen. I mean, you know, you take a child, you put him on a parapet and say, "You know what? This is pretty high up, and you can climb down." And you know, that sounds a whole lot more fun than him standing on the street. There's something about danger. There's something about living dangerously when you're children. And when you get older, I understand, you say, "Man, what was I thinking?" That's the problem. You probably weren't thinking. But still yet, there is that God wants in all of us, that when we see a dead end, it's a dare. "I dare you to go through this trial. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare." And you know what? If you will, God will be with you, because nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. And with God, all things are possible. I dare you. I dare you to start reading your Bible. I dare you start praying and seeking God. I dare you start being faithful to God's house. I dare you. Double dog dare you. See, there's that lure of the impossible that we owe every conquest of science to. The great innovators and inventors discovered things because they had a childlike faith. faith. They said they can't be done. They said, we'll do it. You can't invent anything like that. Well, I'll show you a thing or two. You know, every airplane you see flying in the sky, every car you see on the highway, every phone, every computer, every television is sprung from a God-created human heart. When people said it couldn't happen, it did happen because they achieved what faithless people could not do. They discovered continents. They've climbed the highest mountains. They've plumbed the deepest oceans. They've found the source of every river. They've went to the moon and back. Why? Because somebody said it couldn't be done, and they did it. And the more you dare them to do it, they're willing to step up and do what they think can happen. How much more as children of God? How much more can we believe God? I mean, we're not just talking about faith in faith. We're not talking about a little white football. We're talking about a living God in heaven that shuts the mouth of lions, that cools the fire of the fiery furnace, that splits Red Seas, that has all power in heaven and earth. You dare God, and God will show you a thing or two. Amen. And if you're a child of God, you ought to be, you know, then I'll put you in that dare too. Not a dead end. Shut up. You. No way. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. He ain't got time for you. I mean, give me a break. You're a blind man. You enjoy it. Tell the Lord, I said, hey. Sorry. Happens to me too, so don't worry. No more. Don't say anything. You know, the more they said, the Bible said, the more that they tried to push him down and push him back. I dare you say another word. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said that Jesus stood still and turned around and said, bring him to me. And the Lord healed him. But it wasn't because it was easy. It was because they dared him to do it. They kept saying, shut your mouth, shut your mouth. And the more the devil tells you to shut your mouth, the more you ought to open it. The more he says, well, you ought not to praise God. You know what you've been through this week. That's the more reason you ought to be praising God. Well, you know, you ought not to worship God because, you know, God let you down. I got news for you, devil. God ain't never let me down. And God ain't never did me nothing but good. And as far as I'm concerned, I will not bow down. I believe God. And I believe God can make things possible. Number two, I'm going to have to hurry. I got 15 minutes. Impossible is not set in stone. It's set in motion. It's set in motion. If there's anything in the world that God loves, is faith. He loves faith. I mean, and to the opposite, he hates doubt. Literally, you give me a believer. You give me a preacher. You give me a Sunday school teacher. You give me a deacon board. Give me a church. Give me a people that'll stand up in faith in a world that's set down in doubt and say, I believe God is, and I believe God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So no matter what it is, I believe my faith can put God in motion. And when God gets in motion, you better watch out and get out of the way. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Why? Because God is on the move. Show me a God. Show me God. And God will show up. Amen. He is a showing up kind of God. Somebody say amen. He showed up for me many, many times when everybody said it's over, man. It's over. It's a dead end. It's all set in stone. I've got news for you. It ain't set in stone. The stone was rolled away. And out walked Jesus on the third day. And he said, I'm alive. And I've got all power in heaven and in earth. And nothing is changed from that day to this. Nothing has happened. Nothing's changed. You see, I believe God. I believe God. Now, I know we go through tragedy. I know we got problems. You know, I'm not that kind of preacher that says everything's going to be great. No, no, everything. You're going to get crucified on Friday, but thank God for Sunday morning. Stone is rolled away. The stone, what can be worse than that? They crucified him, and he walked out and moved the stone. It's not set in motion. You set him in motion. It's not set in stone. I say, I believe God. Give me somebody that will stand up and say, I believe God is a healer. I believe God is a mountain mover. I believe God is a miraculous God. gift giver. I believe the blood still saves. I believe the cross still redeems. I believe the Spirit still fills. And you know what I believe? I believe with all of my heart. And let me tell you something, a lot of things I don't believe in this world, but I do believe in this, that one day, the sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and he's going to sound the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive remain, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that is impossible, preacher. Well, God is going to show you impossible is nothing. Amen. Possible is nothing when you compare it to faith. Faith looks at things differently. Looks at things differently. See, you don't really know what you have sometimes. I was watching one of those antique road shows once. And I always try to find things I got, but I ain't never found nothing yet. I got one just like that. Well, this woman brought this vase in. And the guy's eyes became like saucers. And sat down, he could hardly talk. Ma'am, do you know what you got here? Well, I bought this vase in a garage sale. Mind me asking how much you paid for it? I think, well, I was asking $10, but I talked them down to $5. That's Brother Richard Witten right there. Amen. Keep hunting, brother. And finally said, you're sitting down. She said, yeah. This vase is so exquisite. Yada, yada, yada. It came from the 3rd or 4th dynasty of Yang Yang, and you know, and over in China, and yada, yada, yada. How much is it worth? I'm saying, man, get to the chase, man. Just cut to the chase. Tell the woman how much it's worth. And good thing I'm sitting down too, because he told that woman, this is worth $69 million. And I said, whoa, let me go find me a vase. Amen. I couldn't. She had it all those years. What was the possibility? I mean, if it had been in my house, it probably would have been broken. She had it out. Many times it probably was over, but she got it just in time to the guy, and they auctioned it off and got millions of dollars for it. She didn't even know what she had. And lots of times we don't even realize what we have when we say we have faith in God. You say, well, you know, I hear faith is, you know, good. No, faith is not just good. Faith is knowing God is God and believing God can do all things. It's looking the devil right square in the eyes and saying, devil, do your best. But worse, but by the help and the grace of Almighty God, we're going to have a breakthrough here, okay? It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter if the stone's been rolled over and it's set in stone. I'm here to tell you there's greater days ahead. God's got bigger things because we're talking about God. I want you to know we're going to see revival in this church. Understand that? You tell yourself that because I'm telling you today, we're going to see a move of God the likes you can't imagine. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. This is not just rhetoric. This is the will of God. He said, go in the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And he said, if they believe, they shall be saved. The prodigals are going to come back to God. Amen. We're going to build a church going to shake the foundations of hell. We're doing it. Amen. We're doing it. Set in motion. Faith sets it in motion. Sets God and all the faith that comes with God in motion. Number 3. Possibility is not a wall. It's a way through. It's a way through. Amen. You know, the African impala, he can jump 10 feet in the air high. He can leap for 30. And the dead run when he leaps. He can't outrun the cheetah, but he outmaneuvers him most of the time. 19 out of 20 attempts. It's a wonder they even got any cheetahs, is how much agility those things have. And so he can jump 30 feet, 10 feet high. But do you know you can put him in a zoo? You can build a 3-foot wall around him. He'll never jump out. He'll never jump out. He has all the ability to do it, but he will never jump out. Why? Because in the Apollo's mind, he's got to see where he's jumping before he can jump, and he can't see over the wall, so he's not willing to jump. And a lot of things in life, you can't see what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen, but why don't you just get going for God and realize this is a way through. Maybe it's a way over, but it's a way through because God said there's no wall. What's a wall for? It's to keep you in. And lots of us are pinned in by the walls. We're pinned in by these walls. This is the church. We got the church here. Brother, if this is all it is, but we ain't got much. This is not the church. The church is you and you and you and you and you. And we're to go beyond these walls. We're to jump the walls. But I don't know where I'm jumping. Well, God knows where you're jumping because your steps are ordered of Him. I'm talking about a God, not some little pygmy, some little insignificant Jesus that doesn't have the power to blow the fuzz off of a peanut. I'm talking about the Ancient of Days. I'm talking about the Great I Am. I'm talking about the Creator of all creation. He created the cosmos. He created the earth and the heavens and everything in it. He is God alone, all by Himself. That's who I'm talking about. I'm telling you, ask God for some big thing. It's not a wall. Amen. Got to ask God for some big things. Don't ask God for a little mercy drops around me. Follow me with that song. Mercy round drops round us are falling. I don't think that's how the tune went, but I got the words, but not the tune. Don't ask him. Ask him like an Okie would ask him. Say, God, we don't need mercy drops around us falling. We need a toad strangling, gully washing, flood tide of the Spirit of God in our church. Amen. That's what you ladies need to be praying for. And I know they are. We just continue praying for it because we're going to believe God for greater things. You see, don't ask God for a soul. Ask God for a city. Amen. Don't ask God for a city. Ask Him for a nation. Don't ask God for a nation. Ask Him for a world, if you please. He's a big God. You can get out of your box. We've locked Him away in our seminaries. We've locked Him away in our church denominations. We've locked Him away in our doctrines, in all of our little bylaws. We've locked Him up in our churches. But God will not be locked up in a box. And God will not be locked up behind a wall. Because most of what we call faith is not faith at all. It's a farce. I got news for you. If you can't see it, it's still God. But we got to see it. That's our problem. We got to see it. If I can connect the dots, Pastor, if we can just put the dots together, I'm going to believe God. If we can calculate it in terms of, let me get the calculator. Let me calculate this. Let me tell you something. Put that calculator somewhere else because God knows how to do it and what to do because He is God. All the numbers may not up and it may not be predictable, but God does. Things that are not predictable. He tears down walls. He gives victory. He gives power. If you have faith in God. Man, I'm preaching so much better than your amen and me. Y'all working me to death. I ain't preaching tonight, so just give me a few more minutes. Got one more point, but I ain't got there yet. Amen. Listen to me. See, the deal is, you say, I got a wall. I can't get through. No, you can get through it. I can prove it to you. You got the power. God put greater is He in you than he that surrounds you. Amen. You can leap over. What David said, I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Sometimes I feel like I can leap over a troop and run through a wall sometimes. Amen. And I always have a mountaintop experience every day of my life. I'm sorry if you don't, but I have a mountaintop experience every day of my life. Either I'm on top of the mountain, or the mountain's on top of me. One, two. But anyhow, it's a mountaintop experience. But I know that through it all, as my wife sung a little while ago, through it all, I depend on Him. Through it all, I trust Him. He's shown me over and over and over again. How many times is it going to work in our lives? And then we're going to say, I believe this time, but we see God move, just like the disciples. I preached on this. As a matter of fact, I wrote a chapter in one of my books. It's called Losing Faith with the Taste of Fish Still in Your Mouth. He fed 25,000 people and then told them to get in the boat go to the other side. And then they got in a storm and thought they were going to sink because they had doubt and unbelief and no faith in God. And Jesus said, why did you not believe? And the Bible said, with a taste of fish still in their mouth, they hardened their hearts. I mean, they're picking, you know, I got a bone, you know, I got some fish in my mouth, but oh, we're going to die in a storm. Let me tell you something. If Jesus told you to go over to the other side, you're going over and through the other side. Understand that. You're going to the other side. You can't go under for going over. Why? Because God is going to see you through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's not a wall for me. It's a way through. Amen, amen, amen. Joshua. You know, when Joshua got to the walls of Jericho, that was a problem. Big problem. Let me get a drink of water. I'm closing. One last drink. Getting tired. Working too hard. Just kidding. Joshua got a problem. It's called a wall. And you know what? Joshua didn't have a theological manual on how to make walls crumble. Let's go to the tent. Let's get that book. Which book? We got lots of. Get that book there, How to Make Walls Crumble. Let's see what we got to do here. No, he didn't have any books, but he had the Word of God. God said they're going to come down. God said it, it's going to come down. God said it, you're going to come through. God said it, God's going to be there. God is faithful to bring you through. And so here he was, Joshua said, okay, Lord, we need to take this city. And God said, well, here's the plan, Joshua. Joshua, I need you to do this for me. Go around it seven times, or go around it once every for 7 days. On the seventh day, I want you to go around it seven times. And then on the seventh time, I want everybody to shout and blow the trumpets. And I promise you, you're going through that wall. God told him to do it. And I want you to know, Joshua said, I believe God. Why can't we just believe God? If you say, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. You're going to get through it. Why can't you just believe God? I mean, all things are possible to them that believe. And God said, and so for 7 days, they marched around. Can you imagine that? They just marched around. Everybody on top of them all said, look at them pitiful poor people down there. Y'all are crazy, man. Y'all a bunch of nuts. Don't open your mouth, boys. Keep walking. Probably spit on them. Hurl things at them. Listen. Oh, my word. Look at these stragglers. What are they doing? Oh, this is good. This is good. Not so good, okay? Because on that seventh day, what are they doing? Everybody shouted, and down came the walls. Amen. The walls come tumbling down. You see, that's what God does. And the Bible said that the Lord was with Joshua. And can I tell you, God is with his church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God says that you're going to be on the winning side. The walls will come down if you have faith in God. You can't see it today, but you got to keep your faith. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And my final point, brethren, as we come back to the instruments, please. I'm cutting this short, but it's okay. Where they say your mind cannot endure what your hind end can't take, or something like that. Something like that. Cut that out of the DVD. Amen. Oh, look at me like, yeah, you say worse things than that. Glory to God. See, impossible is not paralysis. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. Paralysis. See, there was this man one time. I've been there. Some of you have been there. Capernaum. The place where Jesus and his disciples lived when they were, when they'd come home. It was his base of ministry. And in Capernaum, there is a, right now, today, a 4th century synagogue built on a 1st century synagogue foundation, part of it. And y'all that have been with me, I said, this is where it was. The story I preached all my life, the story you've heard about all your life, happened right here geographically on this planet, right here somewhere. A man with a withered hand. You see, he was had paralysis. Man probably tried to stretch his hand many times. Got up in the morning. To no avail. What are we going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Wife would say to him, honey, you're looking better today. Do you think maybe you could, you know, you're looking really good today, honey. You think you might be able to stretch your hand forth? Yeah, I might be able to do it today. I can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. He probably made 1,000 attempts. Have faith. Have faith. Okay, I'm going to have faith. Faith. Faith's not a magic power. It's not a magic force. It's not something that you have as a credit card and you give it to God and God says, they just used that they just played their ace. Amen. Now, it's called faith. No. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is believing God and going through things and being faithful to God in the storm, in the fire, in the trial. And even if you haven't seen it yet, you don't give up. You just don't give up. No response to that withered hand. The thing was found to be utterly impossible. Jesus was perfectly aware of the situation. The plight of the man was ever before him. And on that Saturday morning at the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, in that synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus looked at the man with the withered hand. He said, come here. He said, stretch forth thine hand. Stretch forth thine hand. Now, he could have said, well, Lord, I would like to do that, but see, I can't do it. See, I tried. I tried it. We tried to build a church, but you know, we backslid on us. We tried to have revival, but it didn't work. We've been praying all these years. I've tried it so many times. How many times do you think they tried to fish all night long? How many times did they throw their nets? How many times did they put it back in the water, hoping this time is going to be the time? This time is going to be. This is going to be my day. This is going to be my hour. This is it! But it wasn't it. Jesus, I would, but I can't. I'm kind of like your disciples. I fished all night. I've been fishing for years trying to get this thing stretched out. I went to a chiropractor. It don't help me. It's just not going to work, Lord. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Jesus was challenging this man on the line of impossible. And if God speaks to you, His word, you can do it. I can't do it. Do it. And the man was healed. Just that simple. What took this man a lifetime to try to achieve happened in a second. You see, I've said it for years. God can do more in 1 second than we can do in our entire lifetimes. That's why today is the best day of my life. Today is the rest of my life. And I don't tell you, the best is before me because I tell you, I'm following after God. I don't know who you're following, but I'm following after God. And when God tells you to do it, He rekindles a faith in you that's equal to the accomplishment. And the things that yesterday were utterly impossible become perfectly possible today because He is able. He's able. More than able. I could say, listen, I'm not putting down nobody, but I've had people tell me, hey, you know, I know this church, man. They started out with 2 people. Now they got thousands. What's wrong with you? Tell me. I'm lucky to have what I have. I've had people, man, you need a bigger church. I thank God what I got. That's like telling me, you know, you need a brand new Corvette. And I got a Mustang. Why? I'm happy with what I got. Am I happy when the transmission, it ain't happened yet, it's not a Chevrolet, goes out on me? No. Am I happy when I got to replace the tires? No. But I guarantee you I wouldn't trade that Mustang for any Corvette. Because I like it. And yeah, this may not be a mega church, but that doesn't mean we don't serve a mega God. And you say, well, you know, this church is from 2 to 2,000. And, but let me tell you something. A lot of that's just a white football. It's not real. It's built on a lot of things. It's built on personalities. It's built on entertainment. It's built on trying to please everybody, making everybody feel good and happy. Because if you come to this church, you're not always going to feel good when you walk out. Sometimes it'll bring you to this altar. Why? Because the Spirit of God will convict us and try to clean us up because He's trying to sanctify us. But I'm saying this, that the real thing is the real thing. And God is able to do the real thing. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to make gold flakes come up out of the ceiling. Put around here, you know, a bunch of chicken feathers. You know, I told you about that. They said were dove, but they went to the laboratories and found they were chicken feathers. The Holy Spirit's in the house. Look at the feathers. God doesn't have feathers. That's a metaphor, okay? He doesn't have feathers. And He sure doesn't have chicken feathers. Somebody say amen. But I'll tell you what God has. He has all power in heaven and in earth. When are you going to start believing God? When are you going to say, I believe God and I believe the impossible is nothing. It's nothing. Father, in Jesus' name.